Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for Monday, December the 16th of 2019. This is David Corey. My usual co-host, Richard Hurley, is out of town on business with another obligation tonight, so I'll be hosting the show by myself. I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening. We have lots of news and information for veterans and their families, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Our first segment tonight is focusing on an important issue. We have three segments tonight. This first segment is going to be on the important topic of post-traumatic stress. You know, we've reported a lot on our shows over the last almost 3 years, the impacts of war. And the country's been at war, you know, since 2001. And I saw some troubling statistics from the VA recently. These statistics were as of the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th of 2019. As of that date, the VA is currently paying disability compensation to 1,113,403 veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. That's 1.1 million veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress. Now, not all of those are receiving necessarily a 100% rating, but they have some degree of post-traumatic stress. So we thought that for our first segment tonight, we also wanted to highlight not just the disability compensation side, but the VA's health care. And to do that, we have an interesting tape courtesy of the VA's Veteran Health Administration that discusses various treatment options that the VA has been using. And the VA is always trying to be on the, you know, on the top of the latest and most effective treatments. But here's an interesting tape. So let's take a listen. Donna, if you'll please roll the first audio clip we have on PTSD treatment.
So, you've been diagnosed with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. You might be thinking, does therapy for PTSD really work? Or what about medications? Well, there are treatments that work, and you have choices. We're going to show you PTSD treatments that are evidence-based, which means they've been proven to work in multiple scientific studies. Two of the most effective PTSD treatments are cognitive processing therapy and prolonged exposure. Both are cognitive behavioral therapies, CBT for short. CBT is far from just talking. You'll learn skills to manage your PTSD symptoms. Cognitive processing therapy teaches you how to change negative thoughts about your trauma, which can have a big impact on how you feel. Prolonged exposure helps you confront memories and situations you've been avoiding since your trauma. This gets easier with time, and eventually, you won't need to avoid them. Another effective therapy is EMDR, which involves thinking about images and feelings that distress you while doing rapid eye movements. This can help you change how you react to trauma memories. Therapies like these usually take 3 to 4 months of weekly visits, and improvement can last for years. Medications are another effective option. The best medications for treating PTSD symptoms are antidepressants, specifically SSRIs and SNRIs. Antidepressants work by helping brain cells communicate better, and that can make you feel better. Improvements in your PTSD symptoms will last for as long as you keep taking them. You might have heard about benzodiazepines, or benzos. In the past, doctors prescribed these anti-anxiety medications for PTSD. New research shows anti-anxiety medications may interfere with therapy and do not improve PTSD. These medications can also lead to harmful side effects like confusion, fogginess, and accidents or falls. If you're taking benzodiazepines or other medications with potentially harmful side effects like atypical antipsychotics, talk to your doctor about whether you should safely stop them. There are more effective options for PTSD. It's common to have other problems at the same time you have PTSD, like chronic pain, depression, substance abuse, a history of traumatic brain injury, or insomnia. Often, treatments effective for PTSD can help with these problems too. In other cases, your doctor might suggest an additional treatment. For example, there's a special type of cognitive behavioral therapy called CBTI. The I is for insomnia. CBTI teaches you skills that can improve your sleep, even after just a few therapy appointments. Some antidepressants can help with sleep too, and there is a medication called Prazosin specifically for nightmares. So, where do you start? Talk to your provider about which effective treatment options are right for you. Therapy, medications, or maybe both. And remember, it's always important to talk to your doctor before stopping or switching medications. For more information, visit the National Center for PTSD website at www.ptsd.va.gov. To find a mental health provider, click the Get Help for PTSD button or see success stories at About Face.
That was a great overview by the VA. We'd like to thank very much the VA Veterans Health Administration for that tape. Made some really excellent points. And one that I'd like to reiterate is if you want more information, because there's a lot of information on this topic, including ongoing research and various options and also support for family members who are affected by the veterans' PTSD, go to ptsd.va.gov, ptsd.va.gov. So it's an important issue. I know from helping representing veterans for many decades, some veterans do relatively well with therapy and medication, and others struggle with PTSD really for the rest of their life. But the most important thing is to reach out and get help and be persistent. And the support of others, and we found that peer support from other veterans has also been a really important part of the program. So I hope that information is helpful. And now let's move on to our second segment tonight. Our second segment tonight is about an extremely popular VA benefit that have benefited many veterans and their families over the decades, and that's the VA Home Loan Benefit Program. The VA helps service members still on active duty, help veterans who are no longer on active duty, as well as eligible surviving spouses, helps them become homeowners. As part of the VA's mission, the VA provides home loan guarantee and other housing-related programs to help you buy, build, repair, retain, and adapt a home for your own personal occupancy. Now, these VA home loans are provided by private lenders such as banks and mortgage companies. The VA guarantees a portion of the loan, enabling the lender to provide you with more favorable terms. So we have, this evening, we have the privilege of having four tapes, courtesy of the VA, with some very useful and very practical information that we hope you'll find interesting about the VA home loan benefit. Now, this next clip we're going to hear is really where to start in using your VA home loan benefit. Mr. Mark Connors of the VA Home Loan Guarantee Service will tell us about that. So Don, if you'll please roll the second tape tonight.
One of the things that you want to do, and there's, you can ask, well, what do you do first? Do you go to a lender first, or do you go to a realtor first? The reason that I would recommend going to a lender first is that, say, for example, I did not do that, but rather I went with a realtor, and I tell the realtor, well, I would like to start looking at homes in the $200,000 price range. And I may spend a period of several days or a couple weeks looking at homes at the $200,000 level. If then I go see my lender, and my lender says, well, Mark, congratulations, you have good credit and you qualify. However, because of your debt and because of your income, we're only going to be able to qualify you for a home in the $175,000 range. I'm never going to find that dream home that I found in the $200,000 price range. Speaking of the lender, what I would also strongly encourage veterans to do is to get pre-approved with your lender. Now, there are two different types of approval. One is referred to as pre-qualification. The other is pre-approval. The difference is that the pre-qualification is based on nothing more than a discussion that you have with your lender. The lender is not substantiating any of the income that you inform the lender that you have, nor are they pulling your credit. With a pre-approval, what that does is that gives the lender the actual documents, your income documents, perhaps your W-2, perhaps your tax returns. They pull your credit, and so they're able to tell you with a pretty good accuracy how much of a home that you can afford. And I think also in today's market, you're going to find that most realtors are going to strongly encourage you to get pre-approved prior to looking at homes as well. And just as I recommended interviewing a couple different lenders, I would recommend you do the same thing with the realtors. Interview a couple different realtors and find one that is familiar with the geographical region that you're wanting to purchase in. You'll be able to find out from the realtors what the school districts are like. They'll be able to answer all your questions and guide you to the home that you want to purchase.
That's great advice from Mark Connors of the VA Home Loan Guarantee Service. A question you might be asking yourself about this program is, what specifically are the actual benefits of the VA Home Loan Program? There are actually quite a few, and Mark Connors from the VA will now explain those benefits. So, Don, if you'll roll the third tape.
VA Guaranteed Loan Program, it's actually a benefit. It's a benefit that veterans have earned. The mission of Loan Guarantee Service is to help veterans attain, retain, and adapt their homes. Let's talk about some of the benefits. Probably the one that comes to mind first is it's 100% financing. As far as I know, that's the only program out there that you can get 100% financing on. And what that really means is that you don't have to make a down payment. Another significant benefit that the program offers is that with a VA loan, you don't pay PMI or private mortgage insurance. And holy cow, that will save you a lot of money over the course of your loan. Another tremendous benefit has to do with the appraisals. And the appraiser goes out, and in addition to determining the value of the home, one of the things that the appraiser does is helps ensure that the home is safe, sound, and sanitary. And that goes back to being a benefit. We don't want to put a veteran in or their family into a home unless it is safe, sound, or sanitary. Retention, homeownership retention, was one of our primary missions. Well, if a veteran were to experience financial difficulty down the road, perhaps there was a temporary period of unemployment, VA will work with the borrower and the lender, and we will bring to bear all tools that we have available to us in order to help the veteran and their family members stay in that home. And one other thing that I would like to mention, and this is not so much a benefit that is associated with VA loans, but I think it's important to note that state and local taxing authorities often provide tax relief benefits to veterans, and particularly veterans that have suffered disabilities and are in receipt of service-connected disability income. And so I would encourage all veterans, whether they use their VA home loan or another home loan product, to check with your local and state taxing authorities to see what benefits may be available to you. And again, the home loan program, it's a benefit that you have earned, and we try to ensure that as many benefits, as many veterans as possible are able to take advantage of this tremendous benefit.
Well, that's excellent insight from Mark Connors of the VA Home Loan Guarantee Service about really what the benefits are. A question you might be having at this point about the VA Home Loan Program is determining your eligibility for those benefits. So we're now going to hear from Mike Frew of the VA to talk about that issue. How do you go about determining your eligibility? So, Don, if you'll roll the fourth tape, please.
Veterans, service members, and certain surviving spouses. Basically, since the beginning of the Gulf War era veterans, virtually anyone that served in the military for 90 days or more is eligible for a VA home loan. Military spouses don't necessarily have eligibility. If they're still married, they would certainly have eligibility through their spouse. Surviving spouses, in certain situations where the veteran or the service member died because of something that happened related to their active duty, like an injury sustained during wartime or a service-connected injury that caused their death, they would be eligible as well. Now, for veterans that have served in the last 20 to 30 years, we have a lot of records directly from DOD. So when lenders go to check a veteran's eligibility, or a veteran goes online on eBenefits to check their eligibility, they can find out in seconds whether they're eligible, and they can print their certificate of eligibility right away. If you're interested in a VA loan, talk to your realtor. The realtor is the person that you spend the most time with in your home purchase transaction. You're driving around with them looking at different homes. You're looking at a lot of different options, and they've been in this. They've done a lot of home purchase transactions over their lifetime, whereas the average person does this once or twice, and it's a large transaction for someone. Other resources are VA itself. We have a website that has contact information that you can use to call your nearest regional loan center. And every single regional loan center is staffed with loan guarantee VA personnel who know everything about the program and can answer questions from beginning to end, everything that you're going to face in this process of getting a VA home loan. And third, you should talk to banks. You know, the lenders themselves know a lot about the program, especially lenders that focus on the VA home loan program, and they know all the ins and outs, and they've worked with VA. They've worked with a lot of veterans and a lot of service members like you that are trying to start this process. So they've got answers because they've gone down this path before.
Of the VA. And so the last thing we're going to talk about on this topic of the VA home loan program is to learn more about how realtors and lenders each play a role in helping you buy a home through the VA home loan program. So let's listen to some advice from Mike Connors again of the VA on these particular topics.
This is a topic that I'm passionate about. And I'm going to start off with education. You know, think about it. When we go out to buy a vehicle, or we are going to plan on going on a vacation, we're going to do a tremendous amount of research on that. However, I think too often with home ownership, we don't do the research that is necessary to educate ourselves. You know, there's a saying that I've heard that I really like. It's called "Know Before You Owe." And how it relates to the home buying process is that when we rent, we have certain fees that go along with the home. However, home ownership involves fees that we've never thought of. There's taxes, there's insurance, there's maintenance, there's upkeep. What happens if the water heater breaks? Do we have the emergency funds necessary to take care of that problem? One that I would recommend is the CFPB, or the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They actually have a site that is specifically geared towards veterans and service members, and there's a lot of information about home ownership on that. Another site that I would recommend would be HUD, Housing and Urban Development. They have great tools on there about home ownership. If you're active duty, I would highly encourage you to make an appointment and go in and see your facility financial counselor. They are there specifically to provide you information as it relates to your finances, and they would be a great resource to help you understand the home buying process and how much that is actually going to cost you. If you're no longer in the military, I think it might be very prudent to consult a financial advisor or financial planner, specifically letting them know that you are interested in purchasing a home and you want to find out how much of a home that you can afford.
Well, that's all great advice, and I hope our listeners tonight will find that helpful to learn more about the VA home loan benefit, which, as I said, has benefited so many people, both still in the service and those that have left the service. So before we move on to our third segment, our news segment tonight, I'd like to remind everyone that this is a call-in show, so feel free to call in with your views, your comments, your questions. And give us an opportunity to discuss those and maybe answer your questions. We have a nationwide toll-free call-in number. If you grab a pen and paper, I'll give that to you in just a second. So, again, this is a call-in show, so use this as an opportunity to voice your opinions or ask questions, make a comment on anything that might be of interest to veterans and their families. The toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, that's 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. Let's jump over to our news segment tonight. Got some interesting news courtesy of the VA's Public Affairs Office. This first story I found particularly interesting. This is an effort by the VA to expand health care access to veterans that live in rural areas that may be quite far away from a VA facility, even a VA outpatient clinic. This past Tuesday, December the 10th, 2019, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs and Walmart, they cut the ribbon in Asheboro, North Carolina, for a new VA-led accessing telehealth through local area stations, what they call the Atlas program, at a services pilot location. This is basically a project where the VA is working with Walmart. The idea is to have this sort of public-private affiliation provide convenient health care to veterans in their communities, typically rural communities where there may not be VA resources. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, and I quote, "This type of collaboration is the way of the future. Veterans need the expansion of choice, and this partnership is vital to affording them convenient access to VA healthcare services where they live," unquote. Now, Walmart has donated equipment and space at five locations as part of a pilot initiative allowing veterans to meet with the VA provider in a private room via video technology. VA telehealth clinical services vary by location and may include primary care, nutrition, mental health, and social work. According to the Chief Growth Officer for Walmart U.S. Health and Wellness, Daryl Risinger, quote, "As both a veteran of the Air Force and a father whose son and son-in-law are serving, I know firsthand how important support and access is for our military, especially when it comes to health care." He said further, "Walmart is committed to making quality health care affordable and accessible and is working with VA to expand its ability to serve veterans through technology. This is another way we are helping our communities live better," unquote. So this new option, according to the VA, makes VA health care easier to access, and it eases the burden of long travel times to appointments. The VA says that it leads the nation in telehealth services. The last fiscal year, there were more than 1.3 million video telehealth encounters with more than 490,000 veterans. Other telehealth pilot sites are in the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Iowa. That's in addition to the one in North Carolina, which they just had the ribbon-cutting ceremony this past Tuesday the 10th. So I think that's an interesting development. The VA is always trying to use technology to its fullest potential to help veterans. Excuse me. And I've seen that on both the healthcare side of the VA as well as the benefits side, including disability benefits, but there are other benefit programs. And a good starting point, the easiest website to remember is simple. It's va.gov, and you can use their search engines and the links that are accessible on that homepage to find all sorts of great things, both, you know, like I say, health care and also disability compensation and other many other benefits, like the home loan program that we talked about in this first segment tonight. So I think that's a really important program, and it's interesting how, you know, the VA is working with the private sector to make the most of resources that are out there to help veterans, especially important in rural areas. Okay, and our second item of news this week, this past Thursday, December the 12th, the VA announced that as of January the 1st, 2020, the VA will begin deciding the so-called Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2019 claims. That's something we've reported on this show for the last, really more than the last 6 months, but especially over the last 6 months, the so-called Vietnam War Blue Water Navy veterans, those that served in ships offshore that have suffered the effects of exposure to herbicides, which were used extensively in Vietnam. But we know that there was a really big decision last year called the Procopio decision, which opened the door to veterans in the Blue Water Navy receiving compensation. But then Congress jumped on the bandwagon this past summer with the statute, which basically codified, if you will, the Procopio decision in some respects. But this statute also received some criticism from some veteran groups as essentially shutting some doors down. We had John Wells from the Military Veterans Advocacy Group on our show several months ago discussing about this very problem. But as many of our listeners know, that the VA kind of put this on hold, the implementation of this statute on hold, and that's what this press release from this past Thursday talked about. They said that as of January the 1st, coming up in just a couple weeks, the VA will begin deciding those so-called Blue Water Navy claims, extending the presumption of herbicide exposure that includes toxins such as Agent Orange in Vietnam to veterans who served in the offshore waters of the Republic of Vietnam during the Vietnam War. Now, prior to this measure, and actually prior to the Procopio court decision, only Vietnam War veterans who served on the ground in Vietnam or within Vietnam's inland waterways or in certain other locations, certain installations in Thailand, certain places around the DMZ in Korea, that they were eligible to receive disability compensation and other benefits based on a presumption of herbicide exposure. And that presumption is really important because without the presumption that they'd been exposed to it and that if they've suffered some sort of cancer or other illness that the VA has already recognized as a likely outcome from that exposure, it's extremely difficult for a veteran on an individual basis to gather all the evidence to prove those things. It's an issue that has really plagued Vietnam War veterans since the war, and it took many decades before the VA was even starting to recognize Agent Orange. So this recent issue, the expansion of coverage to the so-called Blue Water Navy veterans, is a major change. As I said earlier, this past summer, specifically June the 25th, this Blue Water Navy veteran Claims Act of 2019 was passed into law, and it affects Blue Water Navy veterans who served as far as 12 nautical miles off the shore of the Republic of Vietnam, and if they served between January 6th of 1962 and May the 7th of 1975, as well as veterans who served in the Korean Demilitarized Zone between January 1st of 67 and August 31st of 71, because they were using Agent Orange and other herbicides to basically defoliate the DMZ to make it easier to patrol that area. Now, these veterans can apply for disability compensation and other benefits if they have since developed one of 14 conditions, which are various cancers or other illnesses, which are presumed to be related to the exposure to Agent Orange. The veterans don't have to prove that they were actually exposed to the herbicides, because that's the benefit of this presumption. It will presume, it would make that necessary connection by law, which is, as I said, a huge benefit. Now, according to VA Secretary Robert Wilkie in his press release this past week, according to Secretary Wilkie, and I quote, "For 6 months, the VA worked diligently to gather and digitize records from the Naval History and Heritage Command in order to support faster claims decisions." He said further, "These efforts will positively impact the claims process for veterans filing for these benefits," unquote. So we'll see. Hopefully that what Secretary Wilkie has said will actually result in prompt processing for veterans qualify having served on ships in this particular area. Qualifying recipients, according to the VA, including in addition to affected veterans who are still living, are certain survivors of deceased Blue Water Navy and Korean DMZ veterans. Survivors can file claims for benefits based on the veteran's service if the veteran died from at least one of the 14 presumptive conditions associated with Agent Orange. The law also provides benefits for children born with spina bifida if their parent is or was a veteran with certain verified service in Thailand during a specified period. So for that and more information, again, go to va.gov. And on the search engine on that page, on va.gov. Just type in Agent Orange or Blue Water Navy, and you'll find probably more information that you're even aware would exist on this. It's very complicated, very involved. Now, what's interesting is this: the Blue Water Navy Act also includes provisions affecting the VA home loan program, which we talked about in our first segment this evening. This law creates more access for veterans to obtain no down payment home loans, regardless of the loan amount, and the home loan funding fee is reduced for eligible reservists and National Guard borrowers who use their home loan benefits for the first time. Certain Purple Heart recipients do not pay a funding fee at all. So, again, that was additional benefits that were added to this Blue Water Navy Act. You know, the VA has forms for everything under the sun. I'm not sure which agency, the VA or the IRS, has more forms, but they seem to be competing with each other. The veterans who want to file an initial claim for herbicide-related disability can use the VA form 21-526EZ. And when you see the form, you're going to be wondering, what led them to conclude that this was an easy form? Well, you'd have to see the original, the longer version, to appreciate that. But you can file an initial claim for herbicide-related disability using the VA form 21-526EZ. And don't worry about memorizing these form numbers. Again, go to va.gov and type in Agent Orange, and it'll work you through these steps. And the other good news is there are many, many, many VA-recognized Veteran Service Organizations, or VSOs, that assist with the application process at no cost to the veteran. Veterans can also contact their state or county Veteran Affairs Office, because every state has their own Veterans Department. And part of their state mission is to help veterans deal with the federal VA, if you can believe it, but that's what they do. Now, the Blue Water Navy veterans who previously filed a claim, as opposed to ones that this is their first time filing, if they previously filed a claim for service connection for one of the 14 presumptive conditions that was denied by the VA, may provide or identify any new and relevant information regarding their claim when reapplying. To reapply, they have a different form. It's a VA form 20-0995. That's if they're reapplying, if they'd already applied. Now, you might be asking yourself, what are these 14 presumptive conditions? And this list, as many veterans already know, has changed. It's increased over time as the VA has added various conditions, as more research has suggested a link between Agent Orange and these conditions. But they include the following: chronic B-cell leukemia, Hodgkin's disease, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, prostate cancer, various respiratory cancers, including cancer of the lungs, the larynx, trachea, and the bronchus, various soft tissue sarcomas, AL amyloidosis, chloracne, which is a skin condition, diabetes type 2, ischemic heart disease, Parkinson's disease, and peripheral neuropathy early onset form. Now, what I've seen, particularly since 2010, when the VA added ischemic heart disease, a lot of Vietnam-era veterans have filed claims for that. So ischemic heart disease, prostate cancer, type 2 diabetes, those are the VA sees lots of those claims. And now, as I say, this law has extended coverage to the so-called Blue Water Navy. Again, hope this information is helpful. For more information about the Blue Water Navy Act and the changes that will take effect, visit va.gov and search for Blue Water Navy Act. I want to remind our listeners, again, that this is a call-in show. If you have any questions or comments, 1-888-627-6008. Again, 1-888-627-6008. Before I go on to other news, I want to digress briefly, and our faithful listeners know that in many of our shows over the last couple years, Richard Hurley and I have talked about our Costs of War project. One of the effects of representing so many veterans is that we've had a front row seat to the human costs of war. I'm a veteran myself, and I've seen that with veterans I've served with, and certainly veterans I've represented since I left the service myself and retired. We've started our separate project, and we have a website called StopWar.today. Sounds like perhaps a very ambitious title, StopWar.today. We're not naive. We realize what is involved in kind of changing the government's view about the use of the military. But what I want to offer to our listeners as a Christmas gift this year would be anyone that would like a free copy of an outstanding book that we're helping to promote. We gain nothing financially from promoting this book. In fact, we're giving it away as gifts. It's a book called A Mighty Case Against War, What America Missed in U.S. History Class and What We All Can Do Now. The author is Kathy Beckwith, the state of Oregon. It's a truly an outstanding book. In my work on this issue over the last couple years, I had the occasion really to look for lots of resources, a lot of websites, films, documentaries, talking to people, interviewing people, as well as books. And I found this book to be the single best book for the purpose for which it was written, which is for a general audience, but also for students, high school even. It's written even that would appeal to college professor. It's so well documented with references to back it up. But basically, the purpose of the book is to inform people about the kinds of things about American military history that you don't get in history class. And that's basically the other side of the story, or the full side of the story, not just the side perhaps that the government wanted you to know or what the media told you, but a broader, much broader perspective. And as author Kathy Beckwith says, she takes us through a gallop through America's wars, from the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Indian Wars, the Mexican-American Wars, the Civil War, Spanish-American War, the Philippine-American War, the Tampico-Veracruz military action in Mexico, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, the Gulf War, meaning the first Gulf War, 1990-91, various use of military force around the world in the so-called global war on terror, as well as the wars since 2001 in Afghanistan, which has affected Pakistan as well as other countries. But then from 2003 on, the war in Iraq, which has spread to other countries, and the global war on terror touching many countries on many continents around the world, not just the Middle East, but also many countries in Africa and even in the Asia part of the world. So it's a really useful book because it also takes things one step further. It starts presenting and refuting arguments that kind of lead us into war, kind of the sales pitch that the government proposes and that all too often the military or the media will jump on board and follow, which is what we saw in the ramping up to the 2003 invasion of Iraq. If you study this, you'll find it's just remarkable how the military, the media was just supporting military action. Go to our website, which is stopwar.today, and you can find some links on how to contact us. You can send me a message, and I'll be happy to send you a copy, a free copy, as a Christmas present of Kathy Beckwith's book, A Mighty Case Against War. In fact, if you want two copies, I'll send you two copies. I've got enough for the to give probably 30 copies away. So send me an email, and my contact information is on the website stopwar.today. And be a little redundant, my email address directly is lawcorey1@verizon.net. That's L-A-W. C-O-R-Y, the number one at Verizon.net. But go to stopwar.today, not .com or .org, stopwar.today, and you'll find contact information. Send us a message through that. We have to send you one or two copies of this really excellent book. But beyond that, go to the resources page of that website, and you'll find a lot more information. You'll find our first documentary, 24-minute documentary film, on this project where we're interviewing four members of Brown University's Cost of War project. Now, Brown University sponsors the Cost of War Project, costofwar.org, but only one of the four professors actually teaches at Brown. One teaches at Harvard, one teaches at Boston University, and the other is a retired professor at Boston University. But they have a team of more than three dozen people on the Cost of War team, Cost of War Project team. So it's a valuable resource, and go to the reference link, the resources link of stopwar.today, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's just a lot of good information there. We also promote the United States Institute of Peace, which I think is a grossly underfunded, understaffed organization, which needs to play a much bigger role in diplomacy and peace building for the United States, kind of get us out of this cycle of endless war and more in a mindset of diplomacy and peace building. In any event, I encourage people to learn, study, read, and maybe in the holiday season, as well as a good escape from all the political stuff going on right now, take some time and if you got a little time, do some reading on this topic. I think it'll be important. I'm not suggesting you spend your entire vacation doing this, but the resources are there. We've tried to make it easy for you. Again, the website is stopwar.today, so check that out. And again, if you want one or two free copies of this book, A Mighty Case Against War, What America Missed in U.S. History Class and What We All Can Do About It, contact me through the website, stopwar.today. All right, now let's move on to our next portion of our news segment tonight. And this is an interesting bit of news. I represent a lot of veterans, and many are disappointed to find that despite the VA health system overall being quite excellent, you know, yeah, there's some exceptions here and there, but one disappointing weak point of the VA healthcare system is the relative lack of access to dental care for most veterans. The VA just doesn't provide that for most veterans. But so it was important. It caught my eye when I saw a press release this past Friday, December the 13th, where the VA announced it had submitted to Congress a waiver request and a proposed pilot program under the VA Mission Act, which was passed in 2018. The VA Mission Act, you know how Congress is with acronyms. Well, the Mission Act actually spells out a really long title for a law that's designed to improve the VA. It's called the VA Maintaining Internal Systems and Strengthening Integrated Outside Networks Act of 2018. The whole idea, among other things, is to improve veterans' access to health care. Now, under Section 152 of this law, the Mission Act of 2018, there's a process, and the VA is now using it, according to this press release from this past Friday, that they've submitted to Congress a waiver request and a proposed pilot program to improve access to dental care. And I know a lot of veterans will be happy about this. As I say, the Mission Act authorizes the VA to submit these waivers to Congress for the purpose of testing, hopefully, innovative service delivery models to improve the quality of care for veterans. Under the existing laws, as I said, the VA has very limited authority to provide dental care for most veterans. With this waiver, the VA is submitting to Congress an idea to increase access to dental services for enrolled veterans who are ineligible for services dental services to the VA by connecting them with community-based, either pro bono or discounted, dental service providers. So this will be a big thing, big help for a lot of veterans. You know, because the reality is a lot of veterans, even if they're receiving 100% disability or maybe 50% or 60% or 70%, they're, you know, it's paycheck to paycheck living. And dental bills can be very expensive, particularly as people get older. According to this press release, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, and I quote, "The Mission Act gave veterans real choice over their health care decisions. Through this pilot proposal, we want to ensure veterans have access to quality dental care through a network of providers who are proud to serve America's heroes." This is really a great thing that the VA is trying to do. Hopefully, Congress will respond favorably to this waiver request. You know, because the VA can't just do things on its own. They have to get permission and funding and authorization from Congress for these things. Now, it goes without saying that poor dental health can have a significant negative effect on someone's overall health. Clinical research has found possible connections between gum problems and heart disease, bacterial pneumonia, and even stroke. Upon approval of this program, the VA will work with groups such as the American Dental Association and federally qualified health centers across the United States to offer pro bono, which means free, or at least discounted dental services to veterans. Again, a great idea. Now, according to Director Joe Grogan of the White House Domestic Policy Council, and I quote, he said, "This waiver submission opens the door to years of groundbreaking innovation under the Mission Act to improve care for our veterans, who are top of mind for President and this administration every single day," unquote. So, as I said, Section 152 of this Mission Act of 2018, it led the VA to establish a Center for Care and Payment Innovation to test payment and service, healthcare service delivery models. And the idea is trying to preserve and enhance the quality of care for veterans while reducing the cost, their own expenditures. So that's really the idea behind this. And this dental care proposal, it's called Care Coordination for Dental Benefits, that it will work with community providers, a collaboration program, and hopefully it will be approved by Congress, and then they'll move forward with it. So, again, a great idea. I hear from veterans all the time who may be new to the VA system, and they're really disappointed about either limited or zero dental care that they're able to receive, even though the other type of health care that they may be eligible for from the VA is really quite impressive. So that's an important benefit, and we'll be tracking to see, you know, what comes of it. What I've found just from observing Congress, especially over the last several years since we've had the Veterans News Hour here on VBS Radio, is that while Congress is very divided on most issues, they seem to be less divided. They seem to be a bit more bipartisan, if you will, on veteran issues. And that starts in the committees themselves, because that's really where the work is done, as you know. The hard work, the detail work, is done in the House Veterans Affairs Committee and the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. And they'll hold hearings and call witnesses, et cetera, and hear from veteran groups as well as the VA, and they'll come up with these ideas. And like I say, for the most part, they've done a pretty good job in working together. There are some exceptions, and some say that in the last year, things have even become a bit more divided, even as far as veteran issues. But we'll see. I think this is a very positive and very practical development, which can help the veterans. That and the VA's expanding use of technology, as I mentioned in the first news item, where they're talking about the telehealth proposal, where they're working with Walmart in rural areas to provide greater access. So that's it's another important development. For these and other press items directly from the VA, go to va.gov, and at the bottom of that homepage, look for links, and also at the top where it says About VA, click on that and you'll see the links for the public affairs, and that page will take you to their press releases. So there's a lot of good stuff, and they also have YouTube videos both from the Benefit Administration as well as the Health Administration. A lot of good stuff out there. I hope this program is providing a service and at least highlighting some of the key things. Now, as we draw towards the end of our show tonight, we always provide some publicity for a program which we think is very important and it's very practical. It's called the VA program called Coaching into Care. And as the name suggests, it's a way for people, family members typically, to help coach their veteran to get the care that might be needed. Because a lot of veterans, they come back from a war, they may be finding the transition from military life, where they're in a unit of people they knew, served with overseas, to kind of the isolation, tough transition to civilian life. And that isolation is a huge problem because it keeps them from getting help, and it contributes to a lot of other problems. There's a high suicide rate among veterans, for instance, but other problems. So the VA has this program, which is thinking ahead. It says, well, how can we help veterans by informing and supporting family members and friends? And they have this coaching into care program. It's been a while, around for a while. We make a point of publicizing it every week on this show. That's how important it is. So before we close out, I want to talk about this. This program, Coaching into Care, helps veterans that are having a difficulty time transitioning to civilian life back home. Because we all know returning home from military service, especially if it's from a combat zone, can be a tough adjustment, and family members can help. So Coaching into Care offers free coaching to help family members help their veterans. Give the program a call. They have a toll-free number. Grab your pen and paper. Coaching into Care, the toll-free number is 1-888-823-7458. Again, that's 1-888-823-7458. Coaching into Care, 1-888-823-7458. Now, unlike the crisis line, which I'm going to give you that number in a minute, unlike the crisis line, which is a 24/7 operation, the Coaching into Care has Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time hours. That's because of the nature of the coaching and the counseling that they provide. Their hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you know someone, if you are a family member, and you find you could use some support and some help yourself and some tips on how to kind of get your loved one into the care that he or she may need in the VA program, give Coaching into Care a program, Coaching into Care program a call, 1-888-823-7458. Now, separate from the Coaching into Care program is the Veterans Crisis Line, which we also talk about every week. And this is for someone in a crisis. It could be suicidal, or it could be a crisis of some other kind. They're not suicidal, but they're in a crisis of some kind. The VA also has the Veterans Crisis Line that has a different number. So you write this down. It's 1-800-273-8255, which is the National Crisis Line. But if you press 1, that'll take you to the Veterans Crisis Line. So that's 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they didn't get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problems. Now, it's not just veterans that face the stresses that cause them to take their lives. We all know that. This is a nationwide problem across the population. But certainly in the military, it's a problem that seems to be greater than in the private, in the general population. And it's not just those that are serving, they're family members. I became aware just this past week about the spouse of an active duty member who took her own life. Very tragic. And, again, there are resources there. The key is to use those resources. So the Veterans Crisis Line, 1-800-273-8255, and press 1. So we're about out of time for tonight. I hope it's been an informative hour for you all. It's about time to go. We'd like to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli and Corey and Hurley Law Group. We'd like to thank our producer for tonight's show, Mr. Don Newsom. We hope you'll tune in next week. Same time, same station. That's 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 5 Mountain Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Time here on BBSRadio.com Station 1. We'll have another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Until then, we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on BBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.